We begin reading at Romans 8, verse 1, these words, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his Son into the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." This is God's holy word. Beloved in the Lord, as we come in our study in the Apostles' Creed to the text or to the words that we believe in the Holy Spirit, we come to a portion of that study which reminds us that the Spirit is both God and the one whose reality and power is at work in our lives. And those are the two things I would like us to think about this morning as we look at what we find here in this text, and then precisely more so at the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit, who is God. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us into the family of God. If you're in Jesus, according to Romans 8, you're in him because the Spirit of God has come to you. You don't indulge the flesh. You always can tell the difference. The person's always fighting against the word, simply giving evidence of being led by the old nature. But the one who is led by the new nature, who is brought into the family of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the one who understands that he belongs to God because of the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And if Christ is in you, then it's going to show. And that's what Paul tells us here in our passage. In verse 10, he says, "You can tell that the Spirit gives you life when you love the book, when you want to do what's in that book." In other words, what the Bible says. You want that because that's what the Spirit of God has opened your heart to want to do. And you do it because that's your new life in Christ. You can tell that this is the work of the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is the one that gives us life, and without it, well, verse 8 says, those who are in the flesh simply cannot please God. We come to life and blessing and power through the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And that reality, that witness, and that power of the Holy Spirit is seen in our lives in basically three different ways. Let me give you those ways. We'll talk about those ways. It's life and growth and power. Those are the three things. The reality of the Holy Spirit is there. He is God. He is the one who brings us power and life. We were dead in sins, but we were brought to life through the power of God. The only thing that we can do with the truth of the triune God is to hold on to it, to receive it, to take part of it. We can't divide its essence. We can't confuse the persons. We must receive God as he is revealed to us through the powerful work of God, the Holy Spirit. And the best work of the Holy Spirit is to show that we belong to him. We see that in both good and bad passages. If you think back with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, you find the work of the Holy Spirit there, where Ananias and Sapphira agreed to divide their goods and they held back part of what they would bring. And it says in that passage that what was really the problem was not that they lied about what they had, but that they lied to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us that the Lord is that Holy Spirit, clearly testifying to us that Christ, who sends forth his Spirit, is telling us that the Spirit is God, that he is one with the Father and with the Son. And in Hebrews chapter 9, we see the Holy Spirit is the one who is there eternal with God. The Holy Spirit is with the Father, with the Son, omniscient, omnipresent. He alone is Lord. And this work that he does then, through his sovereign work, is to give us all of the blessings that God has for us in life and for eternity. And we analyze that statement in the Catechism, which the Heidelberg Catechism speaks of, when it talks about the viewpoint of Scripture, and we find there that there are three things that the Holy Spirit does for us. He gives us life, he gives us growth, he gives us power. Life, because we were dead in sin. Growth, he forms us into Jesus Christ by the powerful working of the Spirit of God in our lives. And he gives us powerful, powerful lives, powered by himself, by his sovereignty, by his glory, by his power. He is God, and we have to have that power, we have to have that growth, and we have to have that blessing in order for us to work and to serve the living God. All three things need to be there. Let's look at them more closely, more individually. The Holy Spirit, first of all, gives life. He gives us life because we were dead in sin. We know that from Ephesians 2. We were dead in sin. God brought us out of death into life. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:23 that we were born again by the Spirit and the Word of God. Born by what is written in Scripture, and that Scripture taken to our hearts by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit is that which brings us life and blessing. And so this quickening, this making us alive, this calling us to life in Jesus Christ comes through the Word by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. That word of faith that we receive comes by the hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we know that liberty comes as well from the truth that sets a person free. And the quickening, powerful work of the Holy Spirit is that which gives us life and faith and blessing and power. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that the Word of God reaches our hearts, changes our lives, makes us new, and brings us into the family of God. And when you're born into the family of God, when you're born out of that deadness in sin and brought into the family of God, you're born into a family that's God's family. That's what Paul talks about here in Romans 8. He talks about it particularly in verse 15 and verse 16, where he speaks of our adoption into God's family. We all know what adoption is. An adoption takes place when a couple decides to bring into their family someone who is not in their family, and that child then becomes a part of that family. God has done that with us, and he has done it so in such a way that we become a part of his family, and we become a part of what he calls the church, the people of God, born again. The delight of God in his people is the delight that's in the people of God who belong to Jesus Christ. And to be a part of that church means that you are a new creature. You've been changed from what was wretched and old, transformed into what is new and growing and living by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And you can believe that the most wretched sinner, the most unbelievable sinner, can be made alive by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit and be as well included in that same family, adopted into God's family, as Paul speaks of it in Romans 8, and brought into the family of God, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does it and not our own. And when you become a part of the family of God, you become a part of the family of God that says, I love my brothers and my sisters in Jesus Christ. I love them with all my heart. They're the people for whom Jesus died. And when he died for me, he did it not only for me, he did it for them. He did it for us, for we are the family of God. And these are the people that we would want to be with. Every Lord's Day, you go out of your way to reach out and to extend to the other the hand of fellowship and love. Those who are on the edge, even those that are on the periphery, but those who are naturally timid and don't have that acquaintance, you reach out, you bring them in, and you enfold them into the family of God, and you believe that the Holy Spirit has brought those who, by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, have been changed and given new life and transformed by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit into a living fellowship that now dwells as one in the heart of those whom God saves. And when you say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, you are saying that the tough ones that look like they aren't going to be able to get saved are still able to get saved as well, because you're saying, I believe it's the work of the Holy Spirit that changes them. It's not what I can say, it's not what I can do, it's not what I can become to them, but it's the powerful work of the Holy Spirit that takes us into the family of God, that gives us this life and blessing in order that we might be able to say, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He does what to others looks impossible, but what he does is the powerful work of the God of grace and glory. That's why Scripture tells us that there's nothing impossible with God. He gives life. We do not. But the Holy Spirit not only gives life, but he gives growth. Those who come into the family of God, now don't just come and become a member of the family of God and that's all you see of them. No, they become part of the family of God. They become a part of the family of God like Saul of Tarsus, whom God transformed to become Paul, who began to look like Jesus in the powerful working of the Holy Spirit. God began to work in him. God began to work through him. God, the Holy Spirit, began to work in the Apostle Paul's life, the very moral attributes of Jesus himself. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, you not only begin to love him, but you extend his love and become a part of that family that loves others. It puts an impression upon your character and upon your growth so that you grow and you become like Jesus. We're here to become like him, not to become like one another. We're a part of the family of God to grow in grace and in glory. We're to grow in that love that he speaks of in Romans 5, beginning at the end of the chapter there about growing in the Spirit, where it speaks of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, and so on. We are to grow to be like Jesus in all of those things. So when you say, I'm going to become a part of the family of God, I believe in the Holy Spirit, you're saying that you believe that the Holy Spirit is in you, conforming you to the image of God. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is working to conform you, to make you, to mold you, to shape you, and to make you look just like Jesus Christ, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he is molding and shaping you, is going to be the one that you follow with all that you are. You'll turn your back on the things that mold your life and your personality in some other way, the things that you once steadfastly and were committed to. You turn your back on those because now the things that you find in God's book, his word, mold your life and shape your life in the shape and in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the book that you find the joy. It's in the book of the Bible that you find peace. It's in the book that you find the result of righteousness. It's in the book called God's Word that you find that long suffering that's a result of believing that God says, no matter what man may say or do, that he is going to carry out his work in you. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The one who is growing you, shaping you, molding you, making you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's in the influence of, under the influence of his glory or under the influence of his power, he is shaping you and he is molding you to become like him. If you believe in the Holy Spirit, then you believe that what you must influence your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to do is to believe in God's Word, to believe in the Bible that he has given us, to take that Bible in a home and teach it, to believe in the home that excludes the poisons and the cancers and the deforming influences of the world that produce wickedness instead of growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit for growth, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Let your life be molded, shaped, and grown by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. He gives life, he gives growth, and then he gives power. We're only going to look shortly at what it says when it means power, but he is the one who changes. He changed Paul from the Apostle Saul to the Apostle Paul. He changed all of the early leaders of the church. He gave them power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that came to those individuals came from the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, who promised that when he would ascend into heaven, he would send his Holy Spirit to come and to dwell and to give power to them. So we see in the second chapter of Acts, the Apostle Peter, with no apostle training at all, getting up and preaching a sermon, and thousands are converted. We see the Apostle Paul going out through all of the places through which he traveled in the early days of the church, preaching with power the gospel of God's grace. And when they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they became productive for God. He caused them to have power for ministry, power for growth, power to please and to glorify the Lord. The Holy Spirit abides forever and is inalienable. His life goes on. The growth continues. The power for ministry continues until Jesus comes again. Without this fullness of the Holy Spirit, life and growth and power and blessing are not given to us. But with that growth and with that power and with that blessing, we have the desperate answer that a world needs to hear the word of the living God. When we say that we believe in the Holy Spirit, we're saying that we believe in the powerful work of God, the Holy Spirit, who gives life and growth and power to us, for which we should be thankful and everlastingly grateful. Amen.